Morning. Today's daf in Erev and Pei. We are in the Mishnah. An Ayin Testament Beis. The Mishnah is going to be dealing with the very basic question of how to make a Shituf. And by design also, we're going to be discussing how to make an Eruv. Something which is pretty fundamental to the institution of Eruv Echatzeros and Shituf and Mevos, and that is how to lay it down. And this is pretty much par for the Mishnayos, where something like this, which is pretty basic information, is reserved for the middle of the seventh perek, here on Daf Pei, 80% through the Masechta, thereabouts. Okay, it's normally how things work around here. Anyway, the Mishnah begins, Kesa Meshatfim B'mavui. So how to make a Shituf Mavui? So, like we've said already numerous times, the institution of Shituf Mavui is very similar to that of Eruv Chatzeros, with some notable differences. But the basic idea is unification, that you have many, multiple members of a chatzer that are spilling out into a mavui, and in order to be able to carry from the chatzer to the mavui, so unification is required. That is known as a shituf. Shituf does not have to be made with bread. It can be made with any food, as we already established much earlier in the Masechta. And so the Mishnah over here wants to know what exactly is going to be the procedure regarding a shituf. Erev, on the other hand, so that's for the members of the chatzer. Members of the chatzer to be able to carry from their home into the chatzer. So they also need a form of unification that's called Eruv Chatzeros, which we're going to get to in just a little bit. But in the meantime, however, Mishnah starts off with how to make a shituf kesa meshatvim. So b'mavui. So how do we do the shituf by mavui? Manichas achaviz va'omer. So you take a barrel of wine. Now remember, you could use any food you want. So a barrel of wine is perfectly acceptable. And the declaration is, this is going to be for every member of this mavui. And you do zikui. Zikui over here meaning to say that you're going to make a kinyan for everybody within the mavui. Now, in order to make a kinyan, so you need a makna. You need somebody who's going to be transferring. And you need the person who is going to be the recipient of that transfer. Now, the recipient of this transfer is going to be every member of the mavui. And as we're going to explain numerous times over the course of today's daf, how are they going to be receiving it? Meaning they could, each one of them, actually receive it themselves, but we know the halacha is that they're going to be receiving on behalf of somebody else. Do they need acquiescence? The answer is no. We have a principle of Zachal Adam Shalal Befanov, that the transfer could be done on their behalf, even without their knowledge, because it's only going to create a benefit. Anything which creates a benefit, but no liability. So you could do that even without the consent or knowledge of the recipient. So you're going to have somebody receiving on their behalf. Who's going to be receiving it on their behalf? That's the next part of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that you could do the transfer, and the recipients could be even your children as long as they're adults. It could be either your eved or shivcha, but they have to be Jewish. Or it can be done through your wife. However, the zikui cannot be done. The recipient of that transfer on behalf of everybody else cannot be minor children. Cannot be on an eved or a shivcha kenanis. Because that's not a transfer. When you give them something, when you put something in their hand, so what happens is immediately rebounds back to you. And so therefore, they are not receiving it because that halakhically is not viewed as a reception. A number of points to go over here in this Mishnah. I'll go over quickly. One is Tosfos, Mezakeh Lehen Al-Yedei Beno Vito Agedolim. We say that your children can be the recipients, but provide they're adults. Does that mean adults in terms of years, or does that mean financial adults, meaning financially they're independent? So this is a debate in the Gemara Bava Metzia. And the Rishonim deal with, and Tosfos over here deals with, is that debate over there in the Gemara and Bava Metzia translatable, transferable over to our sugya over here. Tosfos quotes an opinion of Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam says that just like Rav Yochanan over there in Bava Metzia, so his understanding is that a Metzia of a Gadol is talking about a Gadol Mamish, meaning somebody who is an adult vis-a-vis years. So the same thing would be true over here. Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says that over there in Bava Metzia, so it is not based on years, but rather it's based on financial independence. Gadol over there means that you're financially independent. Katan means you're financially dependent. So Gadol and Katan has nothing to do. There we go. That's much better. That's more correct. Gadol and Katan has nothing to do with age. It has everything to do with financial independence. Rabbi Natan says same thing over here. Meaning Rav Yochanan's position over there would be the same over here. Even though the difficulty, of course, is that our Gemara makes no mention whatsoever of Rav Yochanan and Shmuel. And what you could say, and some Rishonim do in fact say this, is that the whole machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Shmuel is isolated over there to the Gemara Bamitzia and not transferable over here. But meanwhile, Rabbi Natan is of the opinion that Rav Yochanan would maintain the same position over here. Therefore, Rabbi Natan says, considering that we do pasken like Rav Yochanan, so that means to say that if you in fact are going to be giving over the Erev or the Sheet of Mavui over to your son to receive on behalf of everybody else, he has to be financially independent. Okay. Anyway, that's one point which quickly laid out. Another point to quickly lay out is that the Mishnah says is that your wife can be the recipient on behalf of everybody else. That also poses a bit of a problem because generally speaking, in terms of halacha, whatever assets come into your wife's hands immediately go to the husband. That's part of the institution of ksuva. So over here, the husband hands something to his wife. Really, it rebounds right back to him, to the husband. So how is that considered reception? So next Tosos on the Amud deals with that issue as well. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda chavishol shituf mavoi tzarich lahagbia min hakarka tefach. So you have the barrel of the shituf mavoi. So you have to lift it off the ground a tefach. Why would you lift it off the ground for a tefach? Because you need a kinyan. So it says Rashi. Rashi writes first Rashi in the Gemara. Kushu mezako salahen dechol kama demancha b'rishuselo havizichia. Meaning we're going to do a transfer. A transfer is going to require a maisa kinyan, an act of acquisition, an act of transfer. So hagbah, so lifting something up, the Gemara, as per the Gemara, is in the beginning of Masechta Kedushin, so that's an act of transfer. So over here, lifting it up off the ground, one tefach, that is going to be the act of transfer. Is that always true by hagbah? You're lifting it up one tefach? So Tosus over here, third Tosus now, we get to see together. So Tosus over here says, no. Mikan, second to last Tosfos on the Amud. Mikan ain lo chiach dagba sagi b'tefach. This does not speak to the normal operations in terms of how hagba is done. Doesn't mean that normally you lift something up off a tefach and you've accomplished hagba. Deshani shitufi mavos the rabbanon teida the haloka asi hachal ashmin and din hagba b'chol makom. Notice as Tosfos that our Gemara over here doesn't use this statement, this halacha, as a referendum on hagba. So this is a halacha of one tefach being lifted off the ground, specific to that of shitufei mevos. And Tosfos explains it's a din d'rabbanan. The chachamim were more makel. Back to the Gemara. So first we went over the halacha of Rav Yehuda that you got to lift it off the ground a tefach in order to create a kinyan of the shituf mavui for everybody within the mavui. Amar Rava hani tarti mili sabat pum patis amrinu. So Rava says that two statements were made by the elders of Pumpadisa. See the beginning of the Gemara Sanhedrin, who they are. Rashi over here also makes reference to who the elders of Pumpadisa are. But either way, Chadaha, so one of the halachas is the halacha that we just went over. The sheet of Mavui has to be lifted off the ground on Tefach. Idach, what about the other halacha that was said over by Sabe to Pumpadisa, according to Rava? Hamakadishim ta'am male lugmav yatzav imlav lo yatzav. You make Kiddush. Kiddush has to be done over a cup of wine. Not only does it have to be made over a cup of wine, but you have to drink some of the wine. A malo lugma, a chickful of the wine. If you do so, you're yotzei. If you don't do so, you're not yotzei. Is the mekadesh himself the one who has to drink? Could somebody else drink? A discussion, a debate. We're going to continue. Amar Rav Chaviva hanami sabit de pumbadisa amrinu. Rav Chaviva adds another statement that is attributable to sabit de pumbadisa. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul osim madura lechai b'shabbos. So a woman who just gave birth, so you can make a fire for her. A woman who just gave birth is a chola. Chola, she yeshbo sakana. She has a chill. The chill could be very serious for her, could be critical for her. So therefore, you make a fire in order to warm her up. Now, savor mina lechaya in lechola lo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we thought that there's limitations over here. Maybe specific to a woman who has given birth, but not to stam a regular chola. And be a mosek shamemim, be a mosek chamalom. And maybe it's only during the winter months where the outside temperature is cold, but not during the summer months where the outside temperature is warm. So Amrav Chia Barav and Amr Shmuel, hik is dominant stanein. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Shmuel that no, there is no limitation. Let's say somebody bloodlets, a person then develops a chill. Osalom Adur B'Shabbos, so you light a fire for this individual on Shabbos. meaning that the person is in a tenuous condition, and then on top of that now, it's clearly being exacerbated by the symptoms of having a chill. So then you're mechal Shabbos. V'afil b'tkufas tamos, and you could be in the middle of the summer, and it doesn't matter. Amar Abai Hanami Sabbat Pumpati Samri. So Amemar says, I'm going to add one more statement that was attributable to the elders of Pumpadisa. De Itmar, Ezu Yashera Stam. So how do you know if you're encountering an Ashera tree? Right? The Torah repeatedly warns us that when we go into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to encounter Ashera trees. Ashera trees are Avodah Zarah trees. And when we do, so the Torah says that you have to burn it. Tisrafun Be'esh. You got to destroy it, burn it. So, Ezu Ashera Stam. So how do we know? In other words, it's just a tree. So Amar Rav Kol Shemesharti Ov Degulilim. Shomrim osa v'ein toamim meperosa. So Rav says, I'll tell you the siman that's going to, you're going to be able to clearly recognize that it is an asher tree is that you're going to see the komrim, you're going to see the priests, and they're going to be guarding it, and they're not going to be eating the fruit. Okay, that's a telltale sign that this is an asher tree. We're now on the top of Pam Amud Aleph. Ushmul Amar Kigon Da'amri Hani Tamer L'Shichra Debe Netzarfei D'Shasu Le B'Yom Chagam. Shmuel says, no, you got to see, it's more than that. You have to see that they're dedicating this fruit, the dates of this tree to make for beer, and they're telling you that they're making it for Bein Netzarfei. That's some type of idolatry that was popular in the day. D'Shasu Le B'Yom Chagam, and they're drinking it on their pagan holiday. Okay. The Amrli Sabbat de Pumbadisa Hilchza Kavasa de Shmuel, and the Sabbat de Pumbadisa told me that within this machlokas of Rav Shmuel that we just learned in terms of identification of an Asherah tree, Sabbat de Pumbadisa recorded as saying the halacha falls like Shmuel. Okay, so we are, I know at this point in time it might be slightly confusing, but we're talking about Shitufei Mavos. It just happens to be there was a halacha set over by Shitufei Mavos that you have to raise it off the ground by one tefach. And then we attribute it to Sabe Pumbadisa, and then the Gemara just strung together a collection of other statements that were also said by Sabe de Pumbadisa, but now a full return back to the discussion of Shitufa Mavos, and back to the original halacha, which is that when you lift it off the ground in order to transfer it to the other members of the Mavui, so number one, you could do it even without their knowledge, as we already said back in the Mishnah, and then the second point is that when making the transfer, you have to do it to somebody who is a gadol, and their reception can be viewed as a reception on behalf of the others, which precludes a certain number of people, as we discussed in the Mishnah. And on top of that, there has to be a kinyan hagbah. You have to lift it off the ground. You have to lift it off the ground by one tefach. And as we saw in Toshos, this could be a leniency in that you're only lifting it up one tefach off the ground, not three tefachim off the ground. Okay. With all that stated, may say the Gemara is going to be challenging. The challenge over here is specific to the last halacha that we just did together, that you're lifting it off the ground, a tefach. Case of Meshafim, Mavoi, Mevin, Chavishel, Yayin. So here the Braisa also goes through the ABCs of how to make a shituf. So you bring a barrel of wine, Vishel Shaman, or of oil, Vishel Tamar, or of dates, Vishel Grogaritz, or of figs, Vishel Sharmin, a peris, or any fruit, Imishalau. Now, if it's your fruit and you're the sponsor this week of the shituf Mavoi, so tzarech lezakos. So there, you just have to do a zikui. You have to make sure that a kinyan is made on behalf of everybody else, like we just outlined. V'im mishalahem tzarech lehodia. Now, let's say you're not the sponsor. Let's say the fruit belongs to other members of the mavui. You have to tell them that you are using their fruit in order to make the shitu of mavui. Rashi over here reminds us that if you have unwilling participants to the shitu of mavui, so it doesn't work. So everyone, if you're using their food, so they have to willingly say that, yes, this can be used for the shitu of mavui. Umagbiyam and akarka mashahu. And then the end of the braisa says that you're going to be lifting it off the ground, a mashahu, an iota, and that would be sufficient. And so over here, the challenge is that we said v'shem sabe pumbadisa has to be lifted off the ground a tefach. The braisa says a mashahu. The Gemara says it's not such a difficult stira. My mashahu nami dekamar tefach. A mashahu over here means a tefach. And certainly this answer of the Gemara may very well be reflective of what we saw in Tosfos just minutes earlier, which is that this is something specific to Shituf Mavoi, where you only have to lift it off the ground one tefach, meaning normally you have to lift it off three tefachim, but here it could be less than that. And then the language of the Braisa makes a lot of sense when the Braisa says a mashu, right? Which means obviously just any amount. Relative to what's normally needed, three tzvachim, here it's going to be a mashu. Okay, could be. That could be a way to understand specifically why the Braisa uses the language of mashu. Itmar, Gemara now has a debate between Rav and Shmuel regarding this requirement of making a kinyan as it relates to shitufim evos. And on top of that, we're also going to be discussing, same thing is true regarding Eruv Etchem, meaning we're going to also have a debate there. And halfway down in the Amud, we're also going to be talking about Eruv Tavshilin. So we're going to be hitting this morning now the trifecta of the Eruvin, Eruv Mevos, which also are very similar to Eruv Chatzeros. Okay, so that's one. Next one is going to be Eruv Tchomem. And then a little bit later on, we're also going to be talking about Eruv Tavshilin as well. So what are the positions? Itmar, Shitufei Mavo. So we're going to start now with the discussion of Shituf Mavo. Rav Amar, Ein Tzarech Lezakos. So Rav says, no kinyan is necessary. Shmuel Amar, Tzarech Lezakos, the kinyan is necessary. Now, just for a moment, I mean, we're going to think about this a little bit more. We're going to analyze this a little bit more. But Shmuel's position, obviously, over here seems like the most reasonable position, as we just learned his position in the Mishnah. And so Rav's position over here is a little bit challenging. Where did Rav get this position from? And it seems to go against our Mishnah. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that. Eruv Tchomim. Now, when it comes to Eruv Tchom, meaning that I'm going to acquire the Eruv Tchom on behalf of somebody else, is a actual kinyan required? So here, flip positions. Rav Amar Tzarech Lezakos, Rav is of the position that there has to be a kinyan. Ushmul Amar Tzarech Lezakos, and Shmuel says no kinyan is necessary. Okay, we're going to analyze the positions in just a moment, but first let's just quickly run through the Gemara. Bishlam L'Shmuel HaChatanan V'Achalot Tanan. Shmuel's position is the most reasonable position in that his position regarding Shituf Mavoi is our Mishnah. The idea that by Erev Tchum no kinyan is required, yeah. All the Mishnahs that we saw regarding an Erev Tchum, we never saw an utterance of a kinyan that was necessary. So if you follow the Mishnayos, though, it goes right in accordance with Shmuel. Ela Rav Maitaima. So what's Rav going to tell you? Meaning, how can Rav basically take the opposite position of the Mishnayos? This would have been a wonderful opportunity for the Gemara to say, Rav Tanu Palak, Rav just simply has the status of a Tana. Rav could argue with Mishnayos, but the Gemara does not elect to go in that direction, but rather Rav says, look, I know the Mishnayos are against me, but other Tanaitic works, other Brises, do go in my within my position. So my time of Tanai, he says, the Machlokas Tanai, Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Maisa Bekalaso Shel Rabbi Oshia. There was once an episode with the daughter-in-law Rabbi Oshia, Shahachla Beis Amerchas. She went to the bathhouse. Rashi over here says that we're going to be describing over here in just a moment an Erev Tchom, meaning the bathhouse was outside of the Tchom of where she currently was situated. The Chashkala, so, and it got dark, and now she was stuck, meaning she couldn't come back in again. The Irvala Chamosa, and her mother-in-law made an Erev for her on her behalf. In other words, an Erev Tchom, repositioning her makom shvisa, or point of center, so she can make it back home, even though now Shabbos already began. Ubamaisa lifnei Rabbi Chia, the matter came in front of Rabbi Chia va'aser, and Rabbi Chia says no, it doesn't work. Now, Amalo Rabbi Yishmael, but Rabbi Yosi bavlai kol kach ata machmir be'erivin. So Rabbi Yishmael, but Rabbi Yosi was very critical. How could you be machmir when it comes to a halacha within erivin? Kach amar Abba kol sheish lo lechalahaka be'erivin. Hakel, so I have a tradition. Tradition goes back to my father, right? Rabbi Shmuel ben Rav Yossi frequently quotes his father. And he says, I have a tradition. You have an opportunity to be makel by Erevin? Be makel by Erevin. V'ibayiluhu. Mishol chamos irvala u'mishum delo zichsala. Now, what exactly was the reason why he was machmir? What exactly was the point of failure? So, either the point of failure was that the mother-in-law, with the best of intentions, but maybe she did not make a kinyan. And because she didn't make a kinyan, so therefore, the Erev Tchom that the mother-in-law made for her daughter-in-law didn't work because she simply did not make a kinyan. Or maybe the issue is that she was using her own food. Her own food doesn't require a kinyan, but at the same time, however, this is an Erev Tchom, and therefore you need das, you need the consent of the party that you are making the Erev Tchum on behalf of. Amalam, Mahumi Rabban, Rav Yaakov Shmei, and the question was posed to Rabbi Yaakov, and he said, Lididim Efarshleim Mineid Rabbi Yochanan Mishel Chamosa Irva. The food actually belonged to the mother-in-law. Umishum Delo Zichsala. But the problem was the failure comes as a result of no kinyan being made. So over here now we have found a brisa with a position. Let's call it a brisa. Okay, it's a little unclear about that point, but for our purposes it's fine. So we have now just seen that we have a brisa that clearly that clearly says that a kinyan needs to be made by an Erev Tchum. So this, in fact, is a supportive of Rav's position, even though we don't find any such position in any of the Mishnayos in this Masechta. So Amale Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Yaakov, Berad Bas Yaakov. Rabbi Zera says to Rabbi Yaakov, who is the grandson of Rabbi Yaakov. And where's the father in this picture? See Rashi over here. Interesting Rashi. But anyway, Kimatis Hasam. He says, do me a favor. When you get over there, Aki Vezilu Suma Ditzur. So go right by the clefts of Tzur. Ubay mine me Rav Yaakov Ra'idi, and I want you to ask Rav Yaakov Ra'idi. Ubay mine Mishal Chamosa Irva Mishum Delo Zichsala. Odilma Mishala Irva Mishum Delo Shalomidata. It's the same discussion. I want to understand better. When the Psak was issued, that when the mother-in-law made the Erev Tchum for her daughter, was the mother-in-law using her own food? And the problem was no Kenyan? Or was the mother-in-law using the daughter-in-law's food, and the problem was no das, no consent? So Amalei Mishal Chamosa Irvala Umisham Dlo Zichsala. So he says the problem was is that it was the mother-in-law's food, but no kinyan was made for this particular Erev Tchum. Okay, as a quick review, what we have now just gone through in the Gemara is a machlokus, a two-tiered machlokus, not two-tiered, but opposite machlokus in between Rav and Shmuel regarding the requirement of kinyan when it comes to sheet of mavos versus a requirement of kinyan when it comes to eruv etchumim. Just to recap, so by sheet of mavos, if you're going to be making a sheet of on behalf of others, do you need to make a formal kinyan? Shmuel says yes, Rav says no. And by eruv tchum, if you're making an eruv tchum on behalf of somebody else, do you need to make a kinyan? Rav says yes, Shmuel says no. And the Gemara noting that Shmuel's position is much more bolstered by the fact that the Mishnayos really do echo Shmuel's position, or, historically more accurate, Shmuel is echoing the position of the Mishnayos. What are the Svaras? What are the competing Svaras over here? So, as we just went through the Gemara, and our next step in the Gemara is to come to a conclusive halacha, but the Gemara itself does not provide any Svaras in terms of why that should be. So, if you take a look at Tosfos over here on the top, Rav Amar Ein Tzarech L'Zakos, so Tosfos over here offers a number of svaras for both Rav and for Shmuel, both on the machlokas of Shitufei Mavos and on the machlokas of Eruv Tchumim. Tosos Top Tosos here points out that when it comes to Shitas Rav, that by Shitufei Mavos, there's no requirement of Zikui, the Kevin de Asar Allah Gamar Maknile. So he says, look, by Shituf Mavui, what's going to happen if we don't make a Shituf Mavui? What's going to happen is restriction for everybody. So over here, so there is high motivation, there's high incentive to create the sheet of mavoi. In the absence of a sheet of mavoi, so not only is the recipient not going to be able to carry, but the person who's making the kinyan also is not going to be able to carry as well. So when everyone is so highly motivated to make this, so now, gamar umaknele. Tosa says, now we know that everyone is serious about this kinyan. You don't have to make a formal kinyan, because what is a formal kinyan? A formal kinyan is a concretization of the fact that a transfer has been made. Over here, it doesn't have to be concretized because we all know that the person making the kinyan wants this kinyan to happen. However, on the other hand, says Tosos of Vitchumim, Tzarech Lezakos, Dolo Asar Alei, Velo Gamro Makne, Kidepirish Bekuntras. On the other hand, when you're making an Erev Tchum on behalf of somebody else, the motivation is not so high, certainly not on the part of the Makne, not on the person who's making the transfer, right? He's not losing out on anything. So over here, to ensure that a real transfer is done, so you need a Maisa Kinyan, you need a formal act of acquisition. That is Shitas Rav. That's an explanation of Rav as it relates to Shitas Mavoi and Erev Tchum. Now, what about Shitas Shmuel? Well, Shmuel takes the opposite position on both issues. So Tosfos says, Ula Shmuel b'mavoi tzarech l'zakos d'limit nirishus u'dekasav erev mishum kinyan b'perek misho tziyu. So we go back to Gemara Daf Memtes. That is a critical Gemara in terms of the basic understanding of how Eruv Chatzeres works. Is it Mishum Kinyan? Is it Mishum Dira? So Tosfos over here says that presumably Shmuel follows the position that's Mishum Kenyan, that you're actually transferring rights over from one to another. So this is a legal transfer of rights. So consequently, it must be done with a formal Kenyan. That's Shmuel's position. Aye, but there is another opinion over there in that Gemara. Afila mandarma erev Mishum Dira, Tzarech Lezakus Kedeshi Ekone, Dira Bebeis Chavera. So, okay, and Tosos says, and look, and it could very well be that Shmuel even subscribes to the other position, that really a Ruvei Chatziris is a function of residence, but there also, it's a quasi-transfer, and so therefore, you need a formal kinyan. Okay, and now, Uvitchumim, Savar Shmuel, Dein Tzarech Lezakos, Delo Kani Rishos Acherim Hu. So, and now as far as an Erev Tchum, so why Shmuel say that no kinyan is required? So first, Tosos over here offers a number of suggestions to explain Shmuel. Why no kinyan is required by Erev Tchum? One, says Tosos, is because really you're not making any kind of real transfer over here. That's one possibility. Inami, kevin de'in ma'ar v'nei ruvi tchumim elo dvar mitzvah, mishum mitzvah gamru makne. Also, when can you set up an Erev Tchum? So as we've already described, Erev Tchum can only be set up in the context of a mitzvah. You can only move your Tchum over only under the circumstances where you have a mitzvah opportunity. So obviously there's going to be a really good reason why you're making the Erev Tchum. So once there's a really good reason why, i.e. it's a mitzvah, so then gamar makne. So under those circumstances, certainly you're going to for sure ratify, confirm the transfer, and no formal king is necessary. Tosus also offers a third possibility. Ve'od kevin de ruvit chumim ein marvin elamidato amirasa kishu amer lo tseva arevli chashuva kizichia. On top of that, when it comes to erev tchum, so there has to be consent. And if you think about it, I mean, we made this point already a number of times this morning, but you think about it, of course there has to be consent. Because what erev tchum does is that it does allow you to transfer, to walk, I should say better, from your makom shvisa in a direction at a greater distance. On the other hand, it also shortens you in the other direction. As we pointed out numerous times, erev tchum is a zero-sum game. So you gain in one direction, but you lose in another direction. So there, I wanted the gain, but I didn't want the loss. So therefore, there has to be consent. Since there has to be consent by erev tchum, so Shmuel says that basically once there's consent, so therefore there's no need for a formal kinyan. Okay, so a number of proposals within Tosos explaining Shmuel's position, both regarding Shita of Mavui and regarding a Ruvei Tchum. Good. By the way, I'm not going to do it now, just out of consideration of time, but the remainder of the Tosos is fantastic in terms of summarizing that sometimes we're machmir by Erev Tchum, sometimes we're machmir by Eruvei Chatzeros, and you can see the rest of Tosos where he basically summarizes that it's not one position of whether or not we're machmir by Tchum versus Eruvei Chatzeros, yesh v'yesh. See the continuation of Tosos over there. We're going to continue. We're going to pick it up in the Gemara where we just left off, right in the middle of Pei Amud Aleph, four lines down after the lines are wide. Amar Rav Nachman, Naktinan Echad Eruvei Tchumim, Ve'Echad Eruvei Chatzeros, Echad Shitufei Mavos, Tzaruch Lezakos. So Rav Nachman says the halacha, the psak halacha, is that you're going to need a kinyan under all circumstances for Erev Tchum, for Eruvei Chatzeros, for Shitufei Mavos. You're going to need a kinyan. Now what Rav Nachman's doing is that he's being machmir both like Rav and like Shmuel. Meaning if he followed only Shmuel's position, so kinyan would only be necessary by Shitufei Mavos, not by Eruvei Tchum. So he's taking the chumrah of Shmuel and he's also taking the chumrah of Rav as well. So by Rav Nachman, Eruvei Tavshilin Tzarech Lezakos, O Ein Tzarech Lezakos. Okay, and while we're here, a question that Rav Nachman himself posed, is that is a kinyan going to be necessary by Erev Tavshilin in order to be able to cook from Yontav to Shabbos? Eruvei Tavshilin has to be set up. The Gemara Pesachim Daf Mem Vav discusses this in great detail. In the meantime, over here, if you're making an Erev Tavshilin on behalf of somebody else, is the kinyan going to be required? Am Rav Yosef, Maiti Baile, Lo Shmielei Hadam Rav Nachman, Barav Adam Rav Shmuel, Eruvei Tavshilin Tzarech Lizakos. So he says, what are you asking? We have a tradition that goes back to Shmuel. Erev Tavshilin, you have to make a zikui, you have to make a kinyan. So Amalei Abaye Pshita Dolosh Mialei. So Abaye says, yeah, Rav Nachman never heard that. The Ishmaele, mighty Baile. If he heard that coming from Shmuel, so then he never would have asked the question. Curious over here that Rav Nachman was a student of Shmuel, and meanwhile, something that Shmuel said that Rav Nachman himself was unfamiliar with. But okay, it happens. So the Gemara says, Amar le atu eru v'tchum emilo, Amar Shmuel in tzarech lezakos, v'amar I tzarech lezakos. So he says, well, I'm not convinced that Rav Nachman didn't hear Shmuel make the statement about eru v'tavshilin, because consider, Rav Nachman was fully aware of what Shmuel said as it relates to eru v'tchumim, and meanwhile, by eruv tchum, so Rav Nachman was machmir, not like his Rebbe Shmuel. So why don't we say the same thing over here? That maybe Rav Nachman knew that Shmuel's position regarding Eruvei Tavshilin is that you need to make a kinyan, and he just simply is machmir. Hachi Ashto, the Gemara says, not comparable. Bishlam asam pligi Rav Shmuel v'kamash malan, kichumrin damar v'chi chumrin damar. So he says, look, over there, it's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So over there, so Rav Nachman is just simply being machmir. Avahachi yisa d'shmiele, mi'ika d'man d'palik, but over here, I think that if he would have heard Shmuel make a statement regarding Eruv Tavshilin, and in the absence of a machlokas, so I would say, of course, he would pass on like Shmuel by Eruv Tavshilin. So the Gemara is not necessarily comparable. It kind of takes us now to the end of the Gemara's discussion regarding Kinyanim by Eruv Chatzeros, Shitufim Evos, Eruv Tchum, and Eruv Tavshilin. Gemara's conclusion is that by all of them, a Kinyan needs to be done. Although, admittedly, by the last, by Eruv Tavshilin, the Gemara did not say it definitively. The Rav Nachman just simply raised the question without giving an answer. But regarding the other types of Eruvin, so a Kinyan must be done if the Eruv is being made on behalf from one person on behalf of others. Hahu Tarzina, Dehave B'Shivavusu de Rabbi Zera. So there was a Tarzina living in the community of Rabbi Zera. What's that occupation? Rashi describes it as somebody who guards the arms, right? The all the weapons of the city are kept in a shed, and you have a person guarding the weapons, and right in case of emergency. So everyone in the city knows where to go in order to arm themselves. And you had this person who was responsible for protecting the weapons. And in this particular scenario, he was not Jewish. And now Amrle Ugale Rishusech. And so, as we've discussed already, since the beginning of Eruv Chatzeros, right, at the beginning of the sixth parak, so Adar Menachri, so we know the halach is that if I have a non-Jew living with us in the Chatzer, so in order to successfully make a Eruv Chatzeros, so we also have to rent out the rights of the non-Jew. And yes, it's going to be uncomfortable, and sometimes he says no. Now, we already dealt earlier in the Masechta with what happens with a no. The Gemara over here now is going to be dealing with the same question. What happens if the non-Jew simply says, no, I don't want to rent it out? So, lo ogilahu. Also, coming to Rabbi Zera, Amrle, ma'u lemeger midivisayu. So he says, look, the non-Jew living in our community, so he's refusing to rent out his rights. His wife, on the other hand, okay, she seems a little more amenable to the renting out of the rights. Can we go and can we rent it out from his wife? So, Amrle, achyam reish lakish mishmei degavarabo, mani Rabbi Chanina. So he says, I have a tradition from Reish Lakish, going back to Rabbi Chanina, Ishto Shel Adam Ma'arev Shlomidato. So he says, yeah, that the wife of a non-Jew, so she can now be the, she could serve as the principal. You could rent out from her, and even though she's not getting consent from her husband. Right? Earlier, when we had a similar discussion of the non-Jew in the community saying, no, I'm not going to rent it out. So we talked about other strategies as well, in terms of what you could do. One of them, if I'm remembering correctly, this goes back to Rava, Schiro Ulikito. What you could do is that you can rent, if he's refusing, you can go to an employee, right, one of his farmhands, and you can rent out from him. Anyway, over here, now we learned a new strategy here in Daf Pei, and that is that you can rent out from the wife. Hahu Torzina, Dave Bishuvuse, the Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Oshia. The Gemara now describes a very similar scenario where you had this non-Jew living in the community of Rev Yehuda. So they asked him if he would rent out his rights. He refused. Also, the comment to Rev Yehuda, Bar Oshia, Amrle, Maula Mega Medivasayu. And here again, the same back and forth. Can we rent out from his wife? Lo Hava Biyade. But here, he did not know the answer. Also, the comment to Rev Masna, Lo Hava Biyade. The question gets kicked down the road. Questions posed to Rev Masna, he didn't know. Also, the comment to Rev Yehuda, Amrle, Hachi Amr Shmuel, Ishto Shalda, Marev Shlomidato. So, and the question finally gets to Shmuel's desk, and Shmuel says, "Yeah, you can rent directly from the wife, even without the consent of her husband." And if you consider, by the way, under normal circumstances, this wouldn't pass, right? You can't to negotiate with a person's wife even and not having the consent of the husband normally doesn't fly. But again, over here, we're talking about a stringency that was imposed by the Chachamim, that you have to rent out the makom from the non-Jew in order to make an Erev Tchum. Hey Mamru, Hey Mamru. So the Chachamim were the ones who laid the legislation down. So within the legislation, they created leniencies, dispensations, like this one, for example. Hachinami Mistabra, sorry, we're continuing in the Gemara. Sorry, I skipped two lines. Meisvei, the Gemara challenge is based on a Brisa. The Brisa over here cannot state any clearer, and that is that you can negotiate with the wife. The wife can only be a negotiating partner if she has consent from her husband. But if she doesn't have consent from her husband, so you can't negotiate with the wife. It's very clear. The Brisa says it very, very clearly. And now we just learned the psak of a number of Amoraim, including Shmuel, says you can negotiate with the wife even without the consent. So lokashia had the asar had the lo asar. So the Gemara says it depends. Are we stuck or are we not stuck? If we're stuck, and if we don't have the rental of the non-Jew, we're simply not going to make an eruv. So under those circumstances, you can negotiate with the wife. The Chachamim allowed and afforded the leniency of directly going to the wife even without the consent of the husband. If, let's say, however, we're not stuck, in other words, if failure of rental will not result in restriction. Now, what are those circumstances? When exactly is that going to happen? Rashi over here gives a scenario where it could happen. See Rashi, I'm not going to go through it right now, but see Rashi where there are occasions. It's really not the default position. The default position usually is that if I have a non-Jew living in the chatzer, so he's going to create restrictions. So, but if there is a scenario where the non-Jew is not going to create restrictions, so then you cannot negotiate with the wife without the consent of the husband. And that's what the Brisa is dealing with. Hachinami Mistabra, continuing in the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, look, it really, this answer that we just gave makes a lot of sense. Imkin kashi d'shmol d'shmol. Otherwise, we're going to be confused within the sheet of Shmuel. D'amar Shmuel, echem imbnei mavui, sharagol lishatef imbnei mavui. Let's say you have a regular in the mavui, and he always contributes towards the sheetuf. And for one Shabbos, he made an executive decision, I'm not going to make a sheet of this Shabbos. Okay, and he was being difficult for whatever reason. So, and so what can the B'nai Beiso do? So they can go into his house, and they can basically take a contribution, and against his will. Now, Ruggle Inchin Ruggle Low. So we see over here that that's only if he's a regular contributor. But if he's not a regular contributor, so then we can't just simply go in and take it. So so what does this show us? The show us this, that the idea that we can go in and we can forcibly take something from him. So it must work out that according to Shmuel, so there also is another avenue in terms of negotiating with his wife without consent. Meaning, basically, what we just learned together is that Shmuel says that under certain circumstances, you don't need his consent, i.e. he's a regular contributor, or i.e. you're going to negotiate with his wife who's ready to negotiate, even though he's not ready to negotiate. Okay, so it must be that in a case where we're going to get stuck if no shituf is made, so under those circumstances, so you have an option of negotiating with his wife. There is some opportunity, some ability to get a shituf out of him, even without his consent. Lema misayelei, as we are now in the very bottom of Pamad Aleph, the Gemara says, I think the following brisa is supportive. Kofanos olasos lechi v'kora l'mavui. So you could force somebody to contribute towards the lechi or the kora of the mavui, meaning that we have a mavui, and as we discussed in the first two parakim of our mesechta, it needs an adjustment of either a lechi or a kora. And let's say somebody in the mavui has a lechi or a kora, but he's just being difficult. So the Brisa says, okay, he's being difficult, so a little bit of coercion, right? A little pressure on this individual so that he can contribute the lech and the korah. So the Gemara says, so you see over here that under certain circumstances, to create a shituf, in this case, to create lech and the korah, so you don't need a full acquiescence. You don't need his consent. So Shani Asim Daleka Mechitza. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but that is not absolute proof. Because over there, without a lechi, without a korah, so we don't even have the requisite mechitzos, meaning that lechi and that korah makes up the fourth wall. Granted, by the way, it's really flimsy, and it's a tremendous leniency, as we already discussed in detail in the first two parakim, but it basically represents the fourth wall. So for a fourth wall, so that we can coerce. That's really critical. A really interesting Rashi over here. What's so critical about this fourth wall? Umavui magulahu ve'eno noch l'shomro. Hilka chofen oso. So Rashi says over here, because it makes this mavui more vulnerable, more susceptible, if we don't have a fourth wall. I only say it's an interesting Rashi because what are we talking about over here? A vertical pole, the width of a mashahu, along the side of the entrance, and now it's going to be more guardable, more protectable. It's a safer mavui. Okay, right. That's certainly how the Gemara frames the answer, and Rashi says it beferush. Admittedly, it's a little bit challenging to understand how a lechi or a korah can make this now a more secure mavui. But anyway, but for the purposes of security, so there, coercion. But if we're just talking about Eruv Chatzeros, maybe not. Meaning, the Gemara ends up concluding that you can do coercion, but this halacha regarding Lech and Korah is not necessarily proof positive. There are now a couple words coming up in the Gemara, perfectly unclear exactly what these words are trying to communicate, and you see all the notations over there, the Gra, the Bach, and an assortment of post-publishing editors of the Gemara who came along and basically said, not clear exactly what these words are coming to do over here. We are going to move on to the second line of Pamid Beis Itmar. Rav Chia Bar Ashi Amar Osin Lechi Ashera. Rav Yishim Melakish Amar Osin Kora Ashera. So can I make either a Lechi or a Kora out of an Ashera tree? Ashera tree, as we already pointed out, second time we're discussing Ashera this morning. First time was the Sabi de Pumbedisa, who said that regarding the Ashera tree, so how can you identify what trees in Eretz Yisrael are Ashera trees? Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, Sabi de Pumbedisa favored the sheet of Shmuel. Anyway, the Ashera tree is Asar Ba'anah. Furthermore, Kesuse Mechzat Shiure, you have to burn it. Can I use an Ashera tree either for Lechi or for Korah? So that's what we're discussing right now. Rav Chia Bar Ashi says that you can make the Lechi out of an Ashera. And Rabbi Shimon Malachi says you can make the Korah out of the Ashera. Man, damar Korah, kol shekein Lechi. Now, if you subscribe to Reish Lakish's position that I can make my Korah out of the Ashera, certainly that I can the Lechi. The Korah is more substantial. The Korah has to be a tefach wide, like we discussed also in the first two parakim of the Masechta. The Lechi, the vertical pole, could be a mashu. So if the Korah can be made out of an Ashera, certainly the Lechi can as well. However, if I say that the Lechi can be made out of the Ashera, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Korah can be made out of the Ashera. Look, Ashera kututi mechta shiure. The fact that we have to burn it means that even though right now currently it's intact, but halacha basically, it prognosticates. It projects. The halacha demands that we have to burn it. So right now, ketute mechta shiure, so we view it now as if it is already pulverized. It's already incinerated. And so therefore, you can't use it for a korah. Korah, you need something substantial. You need a tefach. Aye, but a lechi, it could even be the width of the lechi could be a kol shehu. Okay, and an extensive discussion in the Rishonim. You can even see Tosos right here. Second Tosos on the Amud. It's true that by the lechi, the width is a mashu, but the hain has to be 10 tefachim. And so the height has to be 10 tefachim, and we said that regarding the Asherah kesusi mechta shiure, so why is it that the lechi, the Asherah lechi would be good? Meanwhile, there's a vertical height requirement. Okay, so Tosus over here addresses that question. It's an obvious question, and there is much discussion to be had regarding how could it work by a lechi, even though it will not work by a korah. Okay, and let's begin the Mishnah. We are here on the Mishnah on Pamud Beis, Nisma'et Ha'ochel. So what we're dealing with over here is that there is a requirement of a certain amount of food that is set up for your shituf mavui. And we haven't established, by the way, how much, which we are going to do in just a moment. But let's say now the amount has been reduced over the course of Shabbos. So most of a mezakev ein tzarich la'odia. So just simply add and make a kinyan for everyone there. And there's no requirement of informing the others. Nitosvo aleihem, most of them mazakav etzarch lahodia. Now, let's say more residents come in into the mavli, right? Over the course of the week, more people moved in. And so there now, so we're going to be adding for these additional residents, but here, tzarch lahodia, you have to let them know, you have to tell them that we are making a contribution for them. So kamahu shi'uran, now how much food do you need to set aside for the sheet of mavli? So bizman she'imaru bein mazman she'isu es lekulam. So when there's a lot of people, so two meals worth for everybody. Bizman she'in mu'atin, but if, let's say it's not a lot of people, kegrogris lechol echad ve'echad, one volume of a grogris for every member, as long as the number is under 18. 18 or under. The, 18, by the way, the Mishnah didn't say that, right? I'm sorry, I just infused the Gemara into the Mishnah. Am Rav Yosi, Bamedvar Mamorim B'tchilas Erev, that's true, when you're starting with the Erev, V'shiyur Erev. But if we're talking about where the Erev is set up correctly, and now we're talking about towards the end of Shabbos, so kol shu, so any amount would be fine. V'lo amru la'arev b'chatzeros ela kadesh lishka ches tinokos. Now you set up a sheet of mavui. Do you also have to set up an Erev chatzeros as well? So hopefully this should trigger a memory, because we discussed it and debated this this issue earlier in the Masechta, and we learned earlier in the Masechta, machlokes atanayim, as to whether or not, once the Shita of Mavui is set in place, do you also need a Erev Chatzeres as well? Machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. So over here, our Mishnah is taking the position, like Rabbi Meir, like we saw earlier in the Masechta, that even though a Shita of Mavui is in place, you still also need to set up Erev Chatzeres. Why? Chinuch, we don't want our kids growing up in a community where they never see Eruv Chatzeros. And I know, after having heard this a number of times in our Masechta, right, certainly it does not seem, right, I hate being critical, it does not seem that we're doing a great job in terms of educating our children about Eruv Chatzeros. But anyway, even with the Shituf in place, Eruv Chatzeros also has to be made so that the kids understand the institution of Eruv Chatzeres. Now, B'mayis Kinan. The Gemara's discussion over here, we're going to tackle just the first part of the Gemara. I'll reserve the second part of the Gemara for tomorrow morning. So, B'mayis Kinan, what are we talking about over here? Ilema b'menechad, miri nismayda filu kalanami. The Gemara says, look, if we're replenishing the Eruv Tchum, right, the Eruv Tchum was totally wiped out, and I'm replenishing with the same food, so then, what difference does it make where some of it's left, none of it's left? In other words, it's the same food. Everyone would be fine with a replenishment of the Erev using the same food. And b'shneimin, I mean, if I'm using now a new type of food, so I feel in this my nami, lo. And now I'm going to be replacing the sheet of mavoi, but I'm going to be using a different food. So let's get consent from everybody. Let's make sure everyone's okay with another type of food. Meaning we got authorization from everybody for the first type of food. But now I'm using another type of food, so there, I need consent. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Kala ochel miminecha ein tzarech lahodia mi beis minin tzarech lahodia. So look, if we totally depleted the sheet of mavui, it was totally consumed, and now I'm replacing it. So the brisa says, if I'm replacing it with the same food, so good, you can assume that everyone would be happy. Everyone was happy the first time we set aside the Erev, so we'll do it again. We'll reload again using the same food. I don't need consent. And if I'm electing now to use a different food, so there I do need consent because I don't know if everyone's happy with that other food. Okay, so the obvious issue is that our Mishnah makes it sound like, well, we aren't fully depleted, it's just diminished. And meanwhile, the Brisa says, if I'm replacing with the same food, even if fully depleted, and if I'm replacing with new food, even if it's just diminished, I still need the consent of everybody. So the Gemara says, "E bais ema miminecha ve'e bais ema mishnei minim." So I can explain our Mishnah in light of the Brisa. "E bais ema miminecha minus ma'et nis ma'et." Now, as far as the Mishnah is saying that we are diminishing in our eruv, it means that we are depleted. Meaning, you read that into the Mishnah, and if I'm replacing, if I'm reloading the eruv, the shitufei mavui with the same type of food, even if the original is fully depleted, no problem at all. I don't need consent. And on top of that, we can understand that we're talking about where I'm using a new food, a new type of food, and meanwhile, if we're talking about where it's totally depleted, so when it's totally depleted, so that's different. And there I do need, in fact, the consent of everybody. So that's another way to read our Mishnah. Okay, so Adkan, we'll stop over here, even though really we have just a little bit more to get to the Mishnah, but just out of consideration of time, let's pause, let's recap, and then Yirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow morning we pick it up at the two dots right in the middle of the Amud. Okay, our first topic of discussion is the very basics of how to make up Shituf Mavui, right? The Mishnah, Ayin Testament Base, where we started this morning. Ketzad Mishtatfim B'Mavui. So how do you set up a Shituf Mavui? And what the Mishnah is informing us is basically how to do it on behalf of everybody within the Mavui using the principle of Zach L'Adam Shalom B'Fanav, where I'm going to be the sponsor, I'm going to be providing the food, and I'm going to acquire it on behalf of everybody else. Or I'm going to make a kinyan. I'm going to be the makne, the one who is creating the kinyan for everybody else. So the Mishnah says that good. So you're the makne, but you need someone to be kona on behalf of everyone else. Someone's got to receive it on their behalf, receive it on the behalf of the others. Who is eligible to receive it on behalf of the other? Good. That's the Mishnah, where basically it has to be people who have a yad, who have a legal hand to receive it on behalf of others. The Mishnah says not your children who are minors. Tosfos, we went over Tosfos, talking about minors over here, meaning minors in terms of age, minors in terms of financial dependence. Okay, the Mishnah says you could use your Eved Ivri, not your Eved Kanani. You could use your wife. We didn't see the Tosfos inside, but that also needs more clarification. Okay, in the meantime, however, our Gemara's discussion are when making the Kinyan on behalf of everybody over there, you need a Hagbah, you need to lift it off the ground one Tefach. Okay, a kinyan is required over here according to our Mishnah. The Gemara says lifting off the ground a tefach may not tell us, to inform us in terms of hagbah always requiring a tefach. This may be a leniency regarding shitufei mavo. So says Tosos in the beginning of our daf today. This halacha was said over by Samba de Pumbedisa. The Gemara went over an assortment of other halachas not related to our issue that were said over by B'Shem Samba de Pumbedisa. The Gemara's discussion on Pei Amud Aleph, after quoting a Braisa, highlighting that the Braisa says you only have to lift it up a mashu, but that could very well be a tefach. Meanwhile, the big discussion in today's daf revolved around whether a kinyan is necessary for Shitufei Mavos, for a Ruvei Tchum, and then finally for a Ruvei Tavshilin. When you are making an Erev on behalf of others, does a formal kinyan need to be done? Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, both on Shitufei Mavos and Aruvei Tchumim. Interestingly enough, they crossed their positions on the two types of Eruvin. And we went through this morning Tosfos, giving Svaras for both the Shitas of Rav and for the Shitas of Shmuel. Then the Halacha Rav Nachman says that for both Shitufei Mavos and Eruvei Chatzeros and Eruvei Tchum, a Kinyan needs to be done if you're doing it on behalf of others. You have to do a formal Kinyan. What about Eruvi Tavshilin? The Gemara raised the question. The Gemara did not come up with a definitive answer. When renting from a non-Jew, so and the non-Jew is being difficult and he does not want to negotiate, so can you negotiate with his wife? So the Gemara said yes, in the affirmative. And basically, an interesting discussion on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, towards the top of the Amud Beis, and that is that if you have difficult people living in the Mavui who are refusing to make contributions, what can you do in terms of non-consent participation? Good, a discussion to be had. We saw quickly on the bottom of the Amud and the top of the Amud base. What happens now after setting up the Eruv Tchum? I'm sorry, wrong parak. After setting up the Shituf Mavoi, what happens there if the requisite amount of food now diminishes or depletes? That's the next Mishnah. We started that Mishnah. The Mishnah didn't even start off with saying how much food you need, because really it is subjective, dependent on the number of people that are living within the Mavui. But let's say there is the requisite amount necessary. What happens if that food either diminishes or depletes? Can I reload it? Do I need the consent of the others? That was our discussion in our Mishnah and in the Gemara. We'll stop over here.